Here we go again with Christy and her wonderful questions. What question are you answering today? From your book, did we give you a question?
There's no question for today.
No question for today.
So I actually said I will let you
flow. Is there any area you'd like to be in?
Accomplishing my reality that I am.
Completing your reality, who you am. Do you know what your reality is?
I am God.
Yeah, you are God. What does the word reality mean to you?
My real self.
Yeah, if you use the word to define the word, that's no definition, you know.
Understanding who I am.
Your reality is understanding who you are.
That I am God.
That you are God. Okay, we'll just play with it. Understanding or knowing my reality, understanding my reality, being my reality, being who I really am. Okay, now, there are many aspects that we can look at this. We can look at it from the aspect of your spiritual life, your mental life, your physical life, your participation in the universal allness, you know. What area of reality do you think you'd like to touch upon? All of them.
The allness.
Okay, then. Now, if we're going to think about the allness, what we're thinking about is a concept that is beyond the awareness of most people. And the reason it's beyond the awareness of most people is that most people want to say it has a parameter. It has an outline for itself. And the allness cannot have an outline. Now, we can say, like the Big Bang Theory, it's a theory. And it's said that an atom burst and created all the atoms of the universe here in the universe that we know, and that all the planets and stars and galaxies are all out of that one atomic burst 15 billion years ago, which is an interesting idea. And so, let us look before that atom. Wherein did that atom live that burst into the allness? Wherein did the infinite live before it created heaven and earth, you know, according to Bible stories? Wherein is the allness, which transcends any thing that we can understand, physical, mental, or spiritual, you know. The allness goes far beyond that. Now, where does this allness exist, and how does it exist, and what does it do? Okay? Now, we don't know what the allness is or what the allness can do, but we have glimpses of it. And these glimpses of it are sort of, exciting little adventures, but they're adventures into an area that we are not aware of. It's just like if you were to see a picture of a vehicle from the year 12,000, you know, not just 1,200, but 12,000. That'd be quite a ways long. We should come up with some interesting things by that time, right? Okay.
Yes.
If you were living in just 0,000 or 0 BC, you know, AD, if you were just living 2,000 years ago, could you have ever conceived of what an automobile would be?
No.
Could you conceive what a kitchen sink would be like we have today?
No.
Or with a dishwasher and running water and drains and sewers and stores that would have merchandise available in plastic, you know, and what is plastic. And so we just go back 2,000 years, or we don't have to go that far, but that's a definite. We just go back to the time of the birth of Jesus and the world in which he was living, and none of these things were there. None of these things were there. But now let's pop up to Leonardo da Vinci. And Leonardo da Vinci started drawing pictures of things that weren't even conceived. Undersea diving bell. You know what a diving bell is? It goes down under the sea. Air is pumped down into it, and people can go in there and be under the water, you know. And a helicopter. He drew a picture of a helicopter. He drew a lot of other interesting things. You see, now all these things, they had no engines to run the helicopter. They had nothing to pump the air down into the diving bell to know how much air pressure they should have, you know. And how if there were no air, all of a sudden people would not be able to breathe, you know. But the concept was there. The concept was there, and nobody picked it up from when Leonardo da Vinci did his work back in 1400, whatever it was. What year was it, do you remember? And from way back then to Jules Verne's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, remember? Jules Verne's, he wrote about that as a fantasy, pure fantasy. And when did Jules Verne write? He wrote that about the 1800s, you know. And many other things came along. And you see, the mind of man does not jump into the possibilities. He can, but he doesn't, and you don't. And you don't jump into the possibilities because you keep your mind stabilized on what you understand. And of course, this is a sound mental attitude. Einstein was thought to be crazy most of the time. At least he was thought to be a way out character, you know. And the inventions that Edison came up with, and Marconi, and many other great inventors, these inventions that they came up with, what were they? They were just figments of their imagination. And until they developed them, nobody believed it. Imagine me talking to you in my mind, that you can conceive of. Now imagine me talking to you in a little box. You pick up your television or your telephone, and you pick it up, and you say, well, hi, Herb, and there's no connection. You're using a wireless phone. There's no connection. Plus the fact that how do you stick me into a telephone that has a wire? You know, how do you get me to go through that box, get the picture of me, you know? And those things are just, you know, really tremendously outstanding. Now, they point the way to your reality. If you really want to be aware of your reality, what you do is you totally unleash your fantasy. Totally unleash your ability to think in the impossible, to think in the improbable, to think in the unreal, the unreasonable. It's impossible to do a thing like that, you know? Yeah. In the show we saw, what was the name of the show? The Last... The Last Holiday, yeah, thank you. So, we saw The Last Holiday. Now, in there she had her possibility book. And in her possibility book, what was she doing?
She was actually her dreams.
She was taking her totally illogical, unreasonable, impossible dreams and putting them in there. She was making herself married to this guy. And she'd never even approached him. He never even approached her. They never even talked, you know, except to be respectful to one another in their store. And she visualized going to this super hotel in Europe, which was far beyond the pocketbook that she had, you know, normally. And she visualized herself doing all of these things. And then, when she decided that she only had a few weeks to live, She took all the money she had and bought her ticket to do it, you see? But that would have done her no good if she hadn't gone there with the right idea. Now, was the right idea that she deserved those things, or was the right idea that she was going to enjoy those things? She didn't think she deserved them, but she was going to enjoy them. She's going to enjoy them even though she knew she was going to die. Now, to know you're going to die in just a couple weeks is tough, right? So, if you let any external process get into the way of your internal experiences, the internal experiences are cut right off. So, she did not let the idea that she was going to die get in the way. Now, in our reality thinking, we cannot let the illusions that we know of in the present day get in the way of the reality. And you say reality. Now, what did the book end up being? What label did they put on the book last night?
Possibility.
They took the word possibilities off and put the word reality on. Shame on you. The very thing we're talking about. You see, yeah, and how quick we forget. The word possibilities were there all along. That was her possibility book, her possibility. And then, at the end, in the closing of the show, they put a little sticker across that, reality. Now, I teach you, and everyone that I can get my hands on, reality thinking. I say to you, Scotland is on the south of England. And you say, that's interesting. And Ireland is on the east of England. And you say, I'll have to take a look at that when I get there. I've been told differently. But see, don't look. And don't doubt. Immediately say, okay, I can conceive of Scotland being south of England. You see? I can see Scotland. What's between London and Dover? Well, let's just say Dover. So I can conceive of Scotland being between London and Dover. Can you see what I'm saying? Can you conceive of that?
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
It is.
Now, can you conceive of Ireland being on the east coast of London, of England, rather than on the west coast?
Yes.
Now, when you can start conceiving these way out concepts, which boggle the mind and certainly go against anything that our experience tells us, when you can go totally in what you want to think, then you are preparing yourself to go into the possibility thinking, into the reality thinking. Because this is what the great inventors do. The great idea comes to them. It's never been done, or at least it's people have wanted it but never did it, or it wasn't done successfully, and then they just go and do it. Because they tune into it, and they tune into it as a reality, not as a possibility or not as an impossibility, but as a reality, and then all the juices, all of the isness, all of the reality domain, which does exist, where these things all exist, manifests itself, revealed itself. Not so much manifest, but revealed. Now, a big thing that is a point in reality thinking is that anything that anyone can imagine in its wildest parameter, in its wildest dimension, already exists. You could not think of that crazy thing unless it already existed. You know? You could not even dream of it unless it already existed. Because it already exists in the universal allness. Now, we say, I'd like to think something new, I'd like to think something creative. Well, what you mean is, I'd like to think of something that hasn't been revealed yet, you know, that it exists. See, that's the first step, because that's the step that says it is there to be revealed. It is real. It is the reality domain. And once you start thinking it is the reality domain, once you start thinking it is done now, once you start thinking these things, then what you are doing is you are opening yourself up to the awareness that the reality domain exists, and that every thought that could be, would be, should be, was, is, now, thought, exists. And all you do is tune into it. Now, that's one of the most dramatic, dynamic, important steps to going into your reality domain. Now, if you, and I know you do, if you have the slightest doubt in your mind that Ireland is on the north of London, in the north of England, if you have the slightest doubt, or if you have the slightest doubt that Ireland is in the Mediterranean, you know, what do you think the Irish people would think if they had their country in the Mediterranean? Wouldn't that be an interesting experience for them? Their growing experiences would be totally different. Instead of potatoes, they'd be having wine. Mm-hmm. But, you see, could you see? Now, your mind, the minute I say Ireland's in the Mediterranean, goes to Ireland in the Mediterranean, already existing there, completely at home there, not brand new, you know. And these tough old cold-blooded Irishmen, you know, who live on the North Atlantic there, they're totally different on the Mediterranean. Now they become like the Italians, you know. Now they become Mediterranean in their attitudes. And so, can you instantly flip into that awareness of them, and no longer seeing them as the Irish of the North Atlantic, but now you see them as the Irish of the Mediterranean? Wouldn't that be interesting?
It is.
Or what if Ireland were an island in the middle of Lake Michigan, between Wisconsin and Michigan, and what kind of a country would it be there? Wouldn't that be interesting? Would it retain its qualities? Now, the answer could be yes. The answer could be yes, because the Canadians have not changed too much from their old colonial ways and British ways. Little by little they're changing, but they took a long time to change, because the British Crown kept them under, you know, control. Now, Mexico too. Mexico is right next to the United States, right next to our populous areas, and it is untouched by the democratic freedom of the United States, where people can own lands and the governments aren't being overthrown all the time, and that the governmental offices are not interested in taking everybody's money and giving nothing back to the people. See, but that's the concept that is going down there. But they better be careful. They got me living just 1 mile away. And what I think for the Mexican people is that they are a stable nation filled with abundant people living in perfect health, revealing themselves in every wonderful, magical way. Do you understand? Now, that's going to mess them up. Because if anything goes contrary to that, trying to keep it from happening, it will cease to be, you know. Any person, place, or thing, a government that would try to take away the good of the people would no longer exist. The governing officials, if they were not harmonious with the best interests of the people, they would not be in office, you know. So, can you think of that? Now, this is what I've been doing in Nigeria. I go down to Nigeria. I bless Nigeria, land that I love. You see, the thing is, the people hadn't been doing that. Oh, they liked Nigeria, they liked what they had, but it was status quo. But would they like it if it were an abundant nation? Would they like it if it were a nation that was the garden spot of the world, you know? Yeah, it could be. It's got all the features to do it. Now, you look at Ghana, And Ghana has done nice things for themselves. They cleaned themselves up pretty well, haven't they? You been there? Yeah, it's pretty nice. And that's because they had good governments and bad governments, more with the good. And now Nigeria will too. But you see, in your reality thinking, can you visualize Ireland anywhere you wish? Can you visualize San Diego north of San Francisco? You know?
Yes.
And when you can start visualizing these things, and I don't mean visualizing hope, I mean visualizing knowing. And when you can start visualizing these things and realize that they're not possibilities, they are realities. And whatever you think of is a reality, you know? Who would have ever thought Pompeii would be gone in a day? You know? You know Pompeii? Mount Vesuvius, down in the Grecian, Roman area. It blew up, and it killed everybody. And boom, nobody escaped, at least most of them. But that's a volcano that happened. Years ago, I think it was maybe about 5,000, 4,000 years ago, something like that. Quite a while. But what I'm saying to you is, all right, just let's play another game. In your reality domain, in your reality thinking, you have read the National Geographic, and you've seen the pictures of Pompeii, and you've seen all the difficulty they've went through. Could you go back in that moment in time, a moment in time, the day that Mount Vesuvius blew its top, could you go back to that moment in time and bless Mount Vesuvius that it would never blow up, that it would be always a peaceful mountain, always harmonious? Could you do that and reverse all the knowledge that history gained afterwards from what had happened? Just imagine what would happen. Not one single thing would happen, because that would be the truth, and you'd be living in the realm of that truth. And I tell you, and this is another aspect of reality, there are many dimensions. One dimension is when Pompeii does not erupt. Okay? Mount Vesuvius does not erupt. One dimension. So everything after that takes place on the basis that that didn't happen. Or that, not that it didn't happen so much, but it was not something in their world. You. If you pray, treat, speak your word, know the truth about yourself, and you say, I am spiritually healed, and you had had a lame foot all your life, never could dance, never could walk comfortably, always had to have special shoes, and you said, I am spiritually healed, and you were spiritually healed, no one would ever know your foot was lame. You wouldn't know it was lame. You would never act as though it were lame. It would never be in your world, but you would be on another dimension. You would not be in the dimension where you lived with the lame foot. You understand? You would be in the dimension where you don't have that problem. Think about that. And when you think about that, you say, do people talk about parallel universes? A parallel universe is two universes that are almost exactly the same, except for some slight little changes. Well, that's just what we're talking about right now. That's just what we're talking about with this idea of reality. Fascinating, isn't it? Now, if you want to get into reality, and it is fun to get into it, if you want to get into reality, then the first thing that goes is the past. The first thing that goes is everything the way it was. And nothing exists the way it was. You might even look here and see things as it was, but you don't recognize it. You don't live according to that. The only thing you live according to is whatever you're living according to in the now. So, in the now, in your reality level, in the now, in your reality level, what you are thinking of is being your absolute self. Yeah. You're thinking of being the allness. You're thinking of being the isness, okay? If you are the allness and the isness, and you are, then any moment that you think any thought, you are that thought. So, if you think of the thought, just for instance, it's now noon in Owerri. It's noon. And you thought, sure, I think I'll go and have lunch with Seville. Instantly, you're there. Now, Seville is not surprised to see you there. Nobody's surprised to see you there. You are there as the most natural thing in the world. Then, after lunch, after dinner, you finish your talking with her, and then, pop, you're back at your nurse's job, or here, or wherever you want to be. That's reality. Now, they are not surprised you came, and they are not surprised you left. Because they only experienced you in the now, when you were there, and they only didn't experience you in the now when you were not there. You see? So, these are some of the things that the reality aspect of life brings into our world. It's quite exciting. Now, are there any other areas that would be interesting to you?
That actually comes according to thought control, isn't it?
That
connection. It has connection. It's also related to thought control.
Thought control?
Yeah.
Now, why are you saying thought control?
It's like in the reality, so that you can, because if anything you think about happens, you've got to be...
Well now, do you have thought control, or do you... Are you the type of person that thinks those thoughts? Now, if you're the kind of person that thinks thoughts of sickness and poverty and limitation in any way, then those are the thoughts you have. Mm. Now, it's not a matter of you controlling your thoughts to think poverty or sickness or stuff like that. It's not a matter of you to control those thoughts. What is it a matter of?
It's
what you do think about, not what you control, but what you do think. If you think about abundance, you think about riches, you think about health, you think about right relationship, you think about illumination, you think about inspiration, you think about wisdom, you think about stuff like that, then that's where you are. You do not control your thoughts. Because in that level, whatever is the most exciting thought that you can conceive of for yourself, that's the thought you're living. Anita? Now, what level of thought are you thinking on? What level of thought do you want to be? I use relative terms because that's easiest to understand. Like going and having lunch with Seville, you know. Or... If you are a spiritually illumined being who is a living in your reality zone, any thought that comes to your mind, you are it. You are the thought. Let's see. I think just for the fun of it, I'm going to design a car that doesn't need gas, doesn't need tires, floats through the air, goes wherever anybody wants. People get in it, and then they think their thought, and the car takes them there. I'm going to design a car like that. Well, could you? Could you?
Yes.
Okay. How would you go about it?
By my thoughts.
Yes. How would you go about designing a car that would go where your thought would take it, and you say by your thought?
Visualize it.
Yeah, but you see, what comes first? the idea that it can be done. Any idea that says it can be done, it already is done. If an idea comes along and says it can't be done, then for you it can't be done. You know?
Mm.
That you really believe it can't be done. Now, do you believe you could walk on fire? And, yeah, sure, I think I could. You know, and then you go do it. So, it has nothing to do with walking on fire. Now, some of these kids, big kids, in their contests, they see who can drink the most beer, or who can eat the most beans or sandwiches or something, you know. Now, why is it some win, some don't? Some do not visualize themselves doing it. Interesting, huh? Now, what do you visualize yourself doing on your reality domain, your reality level, or your reality experience?
Doing myself and having fun.
In what area?
In my spiritual life.
And doing what in your spiritual life?
Actually, expressing my allness. That's his.
How expressing your allness? Well, you see, you like that word allness, and it is a fun word, but what does allness mean? Allness means, well, you see, I'm going to say this, but I don't really want to say it. Allness doesn't mean how allness is. Allness means allness is. Make any sense? Okay, now, if allness means that allness is, you don't think, how do I express my allness? Because you already are your allness. And the more you think about being the allness, the more you are aware that you are the allness, and the more you are aware that you don't know you're the allness. You see, if I said to you, Christy, tell me about the cell on your back that is the fourth cell from the center down in the middle of your vertebrae. Could you tell me what that cell is like and what it's doing? You have the biggest idea. Is that a hole there, or is it a real cell? You know, out of the billions that you have in your body? What does that cell do? What's its purpose? Now, Christy, you're the allness. You should know that. And this is just the allness of your physical body, the stupid little tiny area, you know, infinitesimal when you look at it in the galaxies and stuff like that. You know, that's a tiny little thing. Now, you can't even figure that out. So, how are you going to figure out the allness? Well, you're not. So, what we come to the conclusion of is that if we know the finite, we do not know the all. If we know the all, we do not know the finite. So you will be unable ever to know the all. Now, is that bad or good? Doesn't make any difference. Do you think that it bothers a bird not to know how to fly?
No, because it flies.
It just flies. Do you think it bothers the water to be hydrogen and oxygen?
No.
It just is. Do you think it bothers you to be with Ibu Bey and look at that smile on his face, radiant, just so glorious. You look at the smile on his face. You say, I wonder how he did that. That's a really fine thing that he did. That smile, wow, you know. You know, if you ever wonder, you're not being the all. The all knows. But the all doesn't know that it knows. You understand? So this is how you come to think about all these things we're talking about. especially on the broader scope, like the allness, the isness, the omniscience, omnipresence, and so forth, it cannot know itself because it is so grand. Yeah. Now, it's fun. It's fun. Reality is a great thing, and philosophers have talked about it for eons, and scientists have tried to measure life as it left the body. They measure a body just before it dies, you know, and then they measure it after it dies, and the ectoplasmic force is leaving the body, and they feel like some infinitesimal grand showing of what's happening, you know. And do they really know?
No.
They can't know. Now, why do they want to know? They want to know if you can measure life, you know, and you just can't. And see, these are all the things that people are into. They want to know these facts that are totally irrelevant. That is fun. Yeah?
That equally makes you think. Before you start desiring things, you've got to be very careful.
Okay. Now, what about you? Where are you in that level of thinking?
I just let open. Receptive, open and receptive.
You let it flow.
Let things flow. It's not, yeah.
But still, you are naturally curious. Yeah. Right? So, those are aspects of reality, and those are words about reality, and it's like the allness, and the isness, and the I am-ness. The ness is being, you know, and so if you are being it, you can't describe it. Almost without equivocation, you just can't describe it.
So how do you relate it to your daily activities?
Well, you don't relate it to your daily activity because it has no part in it. The sky is the sky, and the planet is the planet, and from our point of view, they go on whether we are here or not. The planet's going to keep on turning, the sky is going to keep on being whatever it is, whether we're here or not. Now, putting that into our daily living, the sky and the planet are an idea. They are a constantly changing idea. They are an idea of relative proportions. And we, as relative beings, live in the relative world of the sky and the earth and whatever else. And so, as we live in this relative world, we are surrounded by the environment. Yeah. We're surrounded by the environment, but we are surrounded by the environment as this or this, you know. Are we free or are we bound by it? No. You, being as stupid as you are bound by gravity. Now, why are you bound by gravity? Gravity is just a natural law. You don't have to be bound by gravity. Some magicians try to pretend that we're not. Airplanes do it all the time. But they use gravity to lift their wings as well as to hold them down. Otherwise, they just go straight out to outer space. No gravity, they would take off and never come back. You know? The gravity on the moon is less strong than on Earth, so when you take a giant step on the moon, or a good step, you are leaping some tremendous distance, you know. Science already knows what that distance is, but you're leaping a tremendous distance. Now, you have planted in the back of your head the idea that light is 182 miles per second, you know, 182 million. And you think that's what it is. Is it? It is for the human relationship. But in the absolute, there is no time. There is no space. But we have manufactured ourselves a game here, and that game has relativity to it. It has time and space to it, but it's not real. And we know it's not real, and we're doing our utmost to learn how to be untouched by it. But we're still untouched by it. So, how do you be untouched by something that's real? And yet it's not real. Is gravity real?
Yes.
Is speed real?
Yes.
Is time real?
See? It's timeless.
Yeah, but see, but all those things are real when we have them in relation to each other. Now, when we take speed and we put it into the allness concept, what is the answer?
Timeless.
It's only being there. There's no speed. There's no time, no space between here and here. And if you think you're here, and then you think you're there, you're there. Whether it's bringing the space together, which doesn't exist, or whether it's something else. What is it that is? It is for you? The timeless, spaceless expression of the allness.
Yeah, that's where Christ said, a million times in the eyes of man is like a trickle of fire in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
You know, Christ said, a million times in the years in the eyes of man is like a twinkle of an eye in the eyes of God.
Well, even that is totally incorrect. Because, number one, it presumes God has eyes, and it presumes that God is human, and it presumes that God is aware of time and space, and that God is bound by time and space and the twinkle of his eye. Yeah. And you can't say those things. If you say that God is all, and yes, those are relative phrases that we've come to learn and understand, but even they don't describe what we're talking about. Because we're talking about a universe that's timeless, spaceless, you know, every way, and a nowness. And when you think nowness, what are you thinking? When you think nowness, you're not thinking any time at all. You're not even thinking that you're there, thinking nowness. Or that you're here thinking now. You're not even thinking that. You are it. Because the moment you start thinking it, then you're not it. Then you are the manipulative concept working itself out. Now, this is a very overwhelming concept because there's no vocabulary for them. There's no way you can describe nowness. There's no way you can describe isness and hereness, and there's no way you can describe timelessness, you know, and weightlessness and all these interesting things. But it's fascinating. Fascinating. Now, you want to live in your reality domain. And I think that's just wonderful, except that I know you're lying. And the reason that I know you're lying is because you're enjoying living in the now. And not even that, you're enjoying living in the present. You see, in the first book of the Art and Science of Wholeness, I teach first person present tense positive, remember?
Yes.
And I want you to know it, to know it, to know it. Because if you take these thoughts here and put them in the first person present tense positive, they won't fit. They won't fit. Why? Why is it that the first person present tense positive does not fit in with the reality domain?
Because you're letting them, giving them numbers.
What's that?
You're giving them numbers.
You're giving them dimensions, numbers, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what happens when you give something numbers?
Limitations. Hmm? Limitations. You're limiting the...
You were limiting them, right. We're limiting them. And in limiting them, what are we doing?
You're not actually in these possibilities, not real.
We are not unlimiting the possibilities and making them our reality. And how do we start unlimiting that area of our thinking that says we can't do those things? Or that says it has to go through a certain pattern? Or you, your business. Your business says, if you have a cold, it takes 7 days. If you have a broken leg, it takes 2 weeks. If you have this, it takes that. And you see, all of these different terminologies in the nursing field are terminologies that are relative. And if you are working with a patient, and the patient, and you call them a friend, and you're working with this friend, and they come in and they need an irrigation of a wound that they have. And so you irrigate that wound, cleaning it out perfectly and so forth. And then you put whatever you do on it, and maybe even a bandage or a couple stitches or whatever is necessary. And then when you're done, you say, now, there, in about 3 days that should be okay, and you can get going and using that finger again, you know. Oh, wow, great, you know. Why? Why not now? Why not now? And the reason why not now, because you have built into your consciousness the idea that it takes so long for that to heal. It just takes for it to knit together and to, for the cells to do their thing and for the blood vessels to return to their usefulness. And, you know, it just takes time, right? I took my dog Gus, little schnauzer, into the veterinarian in Minneapolis. He had just been mauled by some animal down by the lakeshore and tore out his heart and his lungs and everything. Hey, hanging out here, you know. And we drove in my car with all the kids around and a little convertible, two-seater, but we had all the kids around the outer edge, what we did in the 70s. And we drove to the Minneapolis hospital, to the university hospital. And we got in there, and they took him in, and then they immediately irrigated him and washed him out and cleaned him up and so forth. And he was in there for about 4 or 5 hours. And they came out, and every once in a while they come out, he's doing all right. Little schnauzer who's only about 2 years old, you know. And he's doing all right. And so finally they came out and they said, we've done all we can, and all the last thing we could do is just take everything and shove it back in there and sew it up. And so he was two. Now he lived to be about 10 years old or more, because 80, but anyway. And after that happened, he had to recuperate a little bit. So Edith Mary's dog, a little this little dog would go around making sure that Gus would run and move and do things quickly, forget himself. And so within a day or so, he was running, and within a week or so, he was just fine. But after all that major activity going on within him, you know, redistributing everything and then putting it back in place and maybe not having it exactly the way it should be, but he lived, and no more problems, no problems. And he always would sleep with paws folded like prayer. But you see, he went in there, and all of us were praying for him. Schoenberg. And it should have taken him months to recuperate with that serious illness, but like that. We did not accept it. I tell you, they stuffed it back in there, but mentally I saw them doing everything just in perfect divine order, not stuffing at all. They tried to say to me, in stuffing it in there, that it might not work. But I saw them doing it perfect, you see? And so he was perfect. Now, I'm saying, you have mental attitudes of how long things should take, and but things have to be done. If you, with every patient that came into the hospital in your attention, would immediately say to them, out loud if you want, I surround you with my pure white light of love. Every organ, action, function of your body is whole and perfect right now. You're fantastic. Before we even get done speaking my word, you're going to get up and go home. You know? But you speak your word like that, you know what would happen? Your hospital would be a place of miracles. I don't know what's happening, but every patient that comes in here walks out before they even get into the operating room. You know, the operating room doesn't have much business. Yeah, but can you see? When you have that consciousness, then you're moving, if you will, up the staircase. You're moving away from the limitation. You're moving away from all of the former ways of saying how long things had to take, and you're moving into the reality, it is done now. Most of you say to you, you're home perfect now. Yeah, sure, you are home perfect now. Now, if you will take your mind and move it where my mind is, that you're home perfect now, you'll walk home right now. No problem. And you feel good, you be good, you're fantastic, you're welcome.
So which means, even if I said that, if the person is receptive, it works for the person.
Even if you say what?
If I say you're whole and perfect,
yeah.
If the person is receptive, it works for the person.
No. This is another part of our problem. You don't care if that person accepts it or even knows you said it. In your world, in your mind, in your creation, that person's whole and perfect. Okay? Now, you speak it not for them, but for yourself. Because you will not accept this abnormality in the body, mind, or spirit. In anybody, and even in yourself, especially in yourself. And so if it comes to your attention, you instantly reverse it back to its original purity, you see? Now, if that person, obviously they came to you to tune in, if that person tuned in, they would just pick up their bed, they just get out of bed and go about their business, you know. Never remembering what the problem was. But of course, this is the absolute level of reality domain. And for you to be ready for the absolute level of the reality domain would mean two things. One, you are in the business of reality domain, or two, you are not in the business of looking for problems.
It's quite tough.
But you see, it's only tough until you learn the principle. 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 2. Oh, that's too tough. 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times. That's so hard. 2 times 2 is 4. Because in our adult status, we hear that, we think, that's so easy. That's so. Well, it wasn't when we were learning. Remember? No, you don't remember. But the thing is, when we were learning that, that wasn't easy. And when we were learning that, I don't know how far you went in math, but there's geometry and yes. and spiritual trigonometry and all these upper levels of math, you know. And, I mean, when you're on 2 times 2 is 4, and you talk about some of those things, oh, no, 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 that's far beyond. Well, now that's getting into the reality domain, for instance, you know. Because for our finite thinking, 2 times 2 is 4 is tough. But then, once we've got that, then the whole foundation of mathematics is easy, and then the rest of it becomes like a wonderful game as we learn trigonometry and we learn geometry. I mean, geometry is what? Tell me. A geometric figure is what? It's size. And shapes, that's all. And what are these shapes?
Squares.
Just numbers.
Numbers.
Yeah, just numbers, okay? Now, what is spherical trigonometry?
Just circles.
Yeah, huh? Yeah, just
get. Circles.
And cones. See, it is both, see, geometry is, has like the cube. You know what a cube is, a square, a block. Well, spherical trigonometry is where you have the cone shapes. You know what an ice cream cone is?
Yeah.
And what it can hold. You know, what the, and a cube has a certain volume, and a spherical cone has a certain volume, and a ball, you know, has volume, and you know, how do you figure out a ball? My gosh, you know, and make it into a square. But you see, after a while, those things become so second nature to us that we are thinking in those realms with those words, with those concepts, that it's not difficult at all. But up until that point, it's very, very difficult. Up until that point, we say, I'll never learn this, you know. It's beyond me. And you see, this is where Chioma and Ugo are, and the rest of you too, really, are unique. Chioma loves the confusion of banking because it is so diverse, but it has a foundation of mathematics. See? And that's why she wanted to leave that and go into mathematics, because mathematics is the foundation for all this stuff. Now, and what is Chioma's second love? Music. And so, as a musician, music and mathematics are the foundation of all the fundamental principles of the universe. They are, too. If you understand music or mathematics, or music and mathematics, you're fantastic. You have everything. You know everything. You're tuned in to the functioning of this universe. Now, with that, we have to add this little phrase. All of that is utter confusion. It's utter chaos. In other words, it has no relativity unless we give it relativity. Because it is an absolute concept which works on any level of consciousness, but it's an absolute concept. And the minute you put it onto the relative concept, it works. You know, it's an operative principle on the relative level, but it's a universal isness principle. And you see, the more you get to know the universal isness principles, the more you are into the oneness, the allness, you know. And that's why Ugo and Chioma, by their interest in mathematics, Ugo's more interested than he knows, but he learns like a sponge. You know, his mind just soaks up anything he puts his thought to. And he's brilliant in it, and he is capable in it to do anything he wants to do. And so one of the areas are in mathematics and the other in music. So when you have those interests in you and you can develop them, utilize them, reveal them, then you have moved yourself very much along in the area of absolute, of isness. Interesting, huh? Yeah, and I don't know, do you like math and stuff like that too?
I used to.
You used to, well, you see, by your getting...
Laziness to practice.
Yeah, by your moving away from it, you're moving away from your absolute concept of yourself. See, the more you go back to, and I don't mean mathematics per se, I mean principle. See, mathematics is the evidence of the principle. And we don't have too many evidences of the principle. And music is another evidence of principle, because the tonal scales, the ways in which it expresses itself is definite and yet so infinite, you know. Mathematics is definite, but it's so infinite. There's no area that mathematics cannot find a place. And there's no area that music cannot find a place in which it belongs. And that's neat. Yeah, we want to get into the reality. We want to get into the isness, the allness, the which is what the University of Philosophy is all about. So when you are ready to step into that level, this, what I'm telling you today, is some of the higher aspects of the University of Philosophy.
That's my aim in life.
The University of Philosophy?
Yeah.
Oh, you'll have that shortly. You'll have that shortly. It won't take you long, as long as you just apply yourself. But give yourself a good foundation in the University of Healing. The University of Healing should probably have been titled the University of Pre-Philosophy, you know, or the University of Pre-Absolute, but or some other phrase, but because it is not teaching you about the relative so much as about your infinite possibilities. Your infinite possibilities. And what are your infinite possibilities?
Reality.
Your reality. Yes. And this is, seeing that movie last night was not by happenstance, you know.
I could actually relate that movie to myself. You know, she actually blew her money to go to, I blew mine to come to find my inner reality, coming here. That's parallel to my...
This is your luxury hotel.
Yeah.
And my inner it's for the mind.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For my mind.
Yeah. Because actually the things that she did with her body and her mind and her person, her dressing and so forth, just revealed what was already there. You understand? It just revealed what was already there. And it was just like going to school and opening up that doorway for her to say to her, hey, you are a super lady. But you see, when she gave her final talk, remember?
Yeah.
That is to the group. And she stood up there and she presented them with her thinking, and no excuse, but just her thinking. She was so dignified, so queenly, like her name, so absolutely amazing, you know. She was great.
Because the other man wanted to humiliate her, but rather he upheld her.
In he was the catalyst to opening the last door for her. And of course, then when she went out on the ledge for him, as they all said, he won't jump. He might have, but he won't jump. But he won't jump because he had not found his strength yet. But in questioning her, and the question seemed out of line, they seemed incorrect, ludicrous for him to ask those questions that he asked. But when you think about it, they were not ludicrous, because they were what he really was looking for inside himself. The very questions he asked her sitting on the ledge were the questions that he was asking himself, and he got the answers from her. And I liked what he said about her boyfriend, you know. He had made the switch. He had made the step. I like him, you know. Because the boyfriend was so innocent, so pure, so genuine, so magnificent, you know. It was just so wonderful, the whole thing. Just really a beautiful demonstration of a principle at work.
Another thing is, how do you actually handle the situation in challenges around you?
Well, you see, again, the movie gave you the illustration. She saw those challenges around her. Like, she saw the young lady being discourteous to her servant, or to the lady who was waiting on her. And so she had to get up and go over and say, that's no way to treat another human being. That's no way to treat an employee, you know. That's not very nice at all. She's just doing her work, and then throwing the little dig, you know, and you're running around with a married man, yeah, and that's part of your problem. But that wasn't necessary. But that was necessary for the audience. What was necessary for us was that she showed respect for others. She showed respect for human beings by this other employee, for her not to treat her as some lower echelon being. And that was good. And of course, she didn't ask for anything, and yet the cook, you know, and everybody came to her side, you know, just wonderfully, you know? Yeah?
So, because when you are reading some of this, you will say, like in Blowing the Whistle, in the Songs of the Spirit, certain things you let go, not putting more recognizing, just take your thought you've seen in the reality sense of it. So you let go.
How do you let go?
By actually seeing it in terms of what you are picturing the situation. Rising above the situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did you rise above it? As they were going through those experiences, did you rise above it? As they were having those trying things, were you saying, or did you say, let's see
peace.
How they're going to handle this, you know?
I am peace.
Yeah, I am peace. But the thing is, you see, that's how life is. Life is very subtle with its challenges to us. We create it that way. And being subtle, being very laid back, we don't think it's very important until all of a sudden, bow, you know. And did she ever allow herself to be discourteous to anybody, even when they were discourteous to her?
No.
Did she, when this bitch came in, you know, and said to her, you know, in very caustic manner, you know, that you are a nothing person, you know, and I am everything. I am the German fantastic person, you know. And so she just said, hey, I understand what your problem is. You just are working so hard. You're tired, you know. And you should take it easy a little bit. You should relax, you know. And what do you do for holiday? What one of these things would you like, you know? See? And that's the beauty of it. But it's all mathematics. It's all mathematics because she never gave anything other than what she wanted to receive in return. Now, she didn't know that she was doing that. She just did that intuitively, you know. But this is why the training time is necessary. The training time in the university here trains people to think positive thoughts. Now, I asked Ellen, she wanted to write some statements for herself. Okay. I said, write 100 statements about yourself. Nice statements about yourself. Who you see yourself as. So I did it. I had to do it for her mother, for her father, for her aunt as cousin, and different people. And then I said, all right, now write it for yourself. And that's easy. Now, on each of the 100 statements, write 100 statements. Now, you see, she had the opportunity of looking at that and saying, forever, no way, it's beyond me. Or she had the opportunity to say, I wonder what Herb has in mind. I wonder what lesson he's giving me to learn here with this wonderful doing. That's a lot of writing, you know. That's a lot of writing. That's a lot of doing. And you see, I'm saying this to you now. The principle is, I like me, I'm divine order and peace, okay? Now, if you said, she'll hear this, but that's all right. If you said, I am divine order, I am peace, I like me, and you said that 100 times, and then you said it 100 times about each of the 100 times that you said it, would you be saying it too much?
No.
No. And do you think something would happen up here saying it that much?
Definitely.
And do you think that writing it down and seeing yourself writing it down and remembering each time you write it down that you're saying that very positively, that would bother your mind?
You're it already.
Yeah, you're it already. You're it already. Now, isn't that exciting?
It is.
My goodness sakes. But you see, this is the mathematics of it. This is the music of it. And that's why, no, Rex, don't. This is why when you sing your affirmations, they're so great. This is why you speak your affirmations out loud to yourself. They're so great. When you walk the path here, the hills are alive. I like me, I like me. 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 I like me, 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 I like me. Oh boy, if you did, imagine if you were doing that for yourself. Now, I feel good.
I
feel good.
I felt this morning it was wonderful.
Yeah. But you see, it's fun. It's a joy. It's sort of living it and woo, just feeling outstanding, outrageous. But these are the subtle ways of getting past the limitations you've set up for yourself, which say, I can't do it, into the reality that knows it is already done and beginning to demonstrate it. But without going this pathway, without going these staircases, if you will, you probably won't make it on this dimension, which doesn't matter, because life's all eternal, and there is no rush on any of these things. However, Christy, if you had the choice of living in a body that was whole and perfect, living in a world in which you were an independently wealthy, living in a world in which you had just everybody was harmonious with you, living in a world in which you had a vague, if not better, understanding of absolute and the reality, would you enjoy that as compared to living in a world where you didn't know that existed? Just imagine that. A lot of people live in a world where they will not acknowledge that exists. They will not let themselves think on those levels. Because if they think on those levels, then they have to give up a lot of the human things. And why do you think there's so many courses out there for improve your consciousness by improving your thought, improve your health by saying affirmations, improve your success by doing these things, success courses, you know. Why are there so many of these things, and so many churches that have you pray to a beingness that doesn't exist, you know, because here's where it is, you know. Now, why is it that they proliferate, they just are so abundantly present and people just love to go there and do it? Why is it that they can be? Well, they can be because people like to be unhappy with themselves. People like to feel sorry for themselves. People like to feel that somebody else has a better gift of life than they do. Yeah? And the Constitution of the United States says we are born equal. We are born free. We are born with the inalienable right to secure our happiness. And that's in our Constitution, and we don't even pay attention to it. That's in our Bill of Rights. That's in our attitude of who we are and what we are. And the Queen of England, or King or somebody, God save the King. I bless nature. God save the King. That's from England. That's British. And it came over here, and it's God bless America, land that I love. And of course we say that I am God, so we say I bless America, land that I love. And that becomes our song. And then I go to Nigeria and I teach it to them. And I bless Nigeria, land that I love. You see, and so we learn these words, we learn these terms, we take these terms, and we make them work on all levels of consciousness. And then we open up that inner flow of the beingness that we are. It's fantastic. Yep, it's amazing, isn't it?
It is. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And we are there. And we must go up to lunch.
Hello.
My pleasure. I love you.
I love you.